be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. At the prodding of my friends, I am writing this story. My name is Mildred Hundorf. I am a former elementary school music teacher from Des Moines, Iowa. I've always supplemented my income by teaching piano lessons, something I have done for over 30 years. I have taught some talented students. However, I've also had my share of what I call musically challenged pupils. One such student was Michael. Michael was 12 years old when he was introduced to me by the mother of a friend of his who was one of my students. Michael began his piano lessons, and from the beginning, I thought it was a hopeless endeavor. He just did not seem interested, and when I asked him why he wanted to play the piano, he said that it had always been his mother's dream. He dutifully reviewed his scales and some elementary pieces that I require all my students to learn. Over the month, he played and played as I listened and cringed and tried to encourage him, but it seemed hopeless. I only knew his mother from a distance as she dropped him off or waited in her aged car to pick him up. She always waved and smiled, but never stopped in. Then one day, Michael stopped coming to our lessons. I thought about calling him, but assumed because of his lack of ability that he had decided to pursue something else. I also was glad that he stopped coming. He was bad advertisement for my teaching. Several weeks later, around Easter time, I mailed to the student's home a flyer on the upcoming spring recital. To my surprise, Michael called and asked me if he could be in the recital. I told him that the recital was for current students, and because he dropped out, he really did not qualify. He said that his mother had been very sick and unable to take him to piano lessons, but he was still practicing very hard. And he said, "Mrs. Hundorf, please, please, I just have to play," he insisted. I don't know why, but I said yes to Michael. The night of the recital came. The high school gymnasium was packed with parents, friends, and relatives. I put Michael up last in the program before I was to come up and thank all the students and play a finishing piece. I thought that any damage he would do would come at the end of the program, and I could always salvage his poor performance through my curtain closer. Well, the recital went off without a hitch. The students had been practicing and it showed. Then Michael came up on the stage. His clothes were wrinkled and his hair looked like he'd run an egg beater through it. Why didn't he dress up like the other students, I thought? Why didn't his mother at least make him comb his hair for this special night? Michael pulled out the piano bench and he began. I was surprised when he announced that he had chosen Mozart's Concerto No. 21 in C major. I was not prepared for what I heard next. His fingers were light on the keys. They even danced nimbly on the ivories. He went from pianissimo to fortissimo, from allegro to virtuoso. His suspended chords that Mozart demands were magnificent. Never had I heard Mozart played so well by the people his age. After 6.5 minutes, he ended in a great crescendo, and everyone was on their feet in wild applause. Overcome and in tears, I ran up on stage and put my arms around Michael in joy. I've never heard you play like that before, Michael. How did you do it? Through the microphone, Michael explained. Well, Miss Hondorf, I never told you this before, but I started playing piano at the age of 4 because my mom, who was a single parent, and encouraged me to play. And I loved to play because I saw how happy she became when she sat down to listen to the music that I was making. So I practiced and became good, all for my mom. But a few years ago, she got cancer and very shortly became deaf. Now she could not hear me play anymore. So I had no reason to continue playing. I just lost my interest, and what used to make me and my mom so happy became a very painful experience for me. Finally, my mom talked me into taking lessons again, and that's when I came to you a few months ago. But I didn't really want to. She was getting sicker, and the doctors told us that she did not have long to live. So I just did it to please her. My mom died last week. And that's when I called you. I wanted to play at the recital because I know that she is in heaven now. My mom can hear again, and I wanted her to hear the most beautiful music that I can make. Tonight is for her. Tonight I have reason again to play because my mom is not sick anymore, is not deaf anymore, is not dead anymore, but alive and well in heaven with Jesus. My mom taught me that if we believe in Jesus, that we too, when we die, will rise again like he did, to live forever and die no more. That's what we are celebrating today. We're not celebrating something that just happened 2,000 years ago, and just it happened to Jesus. Because, well, if that's all what it's all about, that's great, but that's what to do with us today. Why are we still celebrating 2,000 years ago? But because it's that same Jesus who suffered, died on the cross, and told his disciples that's what would happen to them, to him, he also told them that he will rise on the last third day. And he did. See, our faith as Christians really rests on this one foundation, that the tomb was empty on that first Easter Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead. If we don't believe it, then why are we here today? We can be at home or at some place having brunch and eating Easter eggs chocolate. But we believe that he rose from the dead, that the empty tomb was empty because of his resurrection. We believe, too, that just he has promised us that he will suffer, die, and rise. He too promised us that all who believe in him, even when they die, they will live forever. If we follow his way of love, as we love, as he showed us what true love is, that's why we celebrate today. But then maybe we're not sure if he's risen from the dead. Maybe it's a story his disciples made up. So let's look at that evidence. If they made up the story, what did they gain from it? I mean, how long are you willing to continue with a lie, especially if you're not benefiting from it? It's not that they got rich from proclaiming Jesus is risen from the dead, or more powerful, or had more power, or more people followed them. All they got from it was being thrown into prison, being thrown to the lions, and being killed, crucified, or burned on fire. They just died because of what they proclaimed. And somehow, they convinced others, despite people seeing what's happening to them, that truly Jesus rose from the dead. We're here today to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, but also to renew our commitment, our faith, that we will continue to proclaim to the whole world that Jesus truly has risen from the dead. Because really nothing changed much from the time of Jesus, when people were not open to this message. Today, many people also are not open to that same message. And we have to be brave. We have to be bold. We can't be afraid, because we have been set free from sin and death, and will die no more once we leave this world. The world needs to hear about the empty tomb. The world needs to hear why the tomb is empty. He needs to hear God's unconditional love, mercy, and forgiveness, that he died on the cross so you and I can live forever.